two enormous wooden pots painted black and suspended by asses' ears swung from the cross trees of an old topmast planted in front of an old doorway. The horns of the cross trees were sawed off on the other side so that this old topmast looked not a little like a gallows. Perhaps I was oversensitive to such an impression at the time, but I could not help staring at this gallows with a vague misgiving. A sort of crick was in my neck as I gazed up to the two remaining horns. Yes, two of them. One for Queequeg and one for me. It's ominous, thinks I. A coffin, my innkeeper. Upon landing in my first whaling port, tombstones staring at me in the whaleman's chapel. And here, a gallows? In a pair of prodigious black pots, too. Are these last throwing out oblique hints touching Tophet? I was called from these reflections by the sight of a freckled woman with yellow hair and a yellow gown, standing in the porch of the inn, under a dull red lamp swinging there, that looked much like an injured eye, and carrying on a brisk scolding with a man in a purple woolen shirt. "Get along with you," she said to the man, "or I'll be combing you." "Come on, Queequeg," said I. "All right. There's Mrs. Hussey." And so it turned out. Mr. Hosea Hussey being from home, but leaving Mrs. Hussey entirely competent to attend to all his affairs. Upon making known our desires for a supper and a bed, Mrs. Hussey, postponing further scolding for the present, ushered us into a little room and seating us at a table spread with the relics of a recently concluded repast, turned around to us and said, "Clam or cod?" "What's that about cods, ma'am?" said I with much politeness. "Clam or cod," she repeated. "A clam for supper? A cold clam? Is that what you mean, Mrs. Hussey?" says I. "But that's a rather cold and clammy reception in the wintertime, ain't it, Mrs. Hussey?"